it's funny because the more we talk about digital on my side, the more we talk about people, right? And that's fundamentally what we're talking about. Digital transformation is getting closer to people and finding ways to understand better and communicate better with all of those customers.
I'm Steven Spears, and this is
The Future.
The Future.
The Future of Customer Engagement
and Experience
Podcast.
Welcome. As always, we're presented by thefutureofcommerce.com, where you can stay ahead of customer experience trends with daily updates that are informational, educational, and entertaining. That's music change. So you know what that means? New series. We've merged efforts with the team from the Art of CX podcast to bring you Customer Corner, a series of unplugged conversations focused on the challenges and transformations going on in the corner offices of the world from the folks who are sitting at the desk. Now, I must note, this series is presented by SAP Customer Experience, as the Art of CX was, and many of the stories are from actual SAP customers and their unique point of view. Now, you'll recognize his voice if you followed the Art of CX. Helping me bring you this series and leading these conversations is Nick Wood. Nick, welcome to the feed. How does it feel? Was there more snacks than you anticipated in the lobby?
Thanks for having me on this and us indeed. Well, snacks in the lobby, I'd love to see those snacks, but since we're still in a bit of a lockdown here in Ireland, unless you send them to my address, which I'm happy to give you after this recording, I won't be seeing any of those snacks, but maybe that's good for the figure as well. You want to get down get those lockdown pounds down anyway at some stage.
Totally fair. Well, perfect. So then, welcome to the feed, Nick. How does it feel?
Well, it feels great, mainly because the way I see it, it means more work for you and less for me in terms of preparation and editing. So that's amazing. No, seriously, I see it as a reward to become part of an established podcast, because we only started the Art of CX a couple of months ago, and we managed, obviously, to create something that had a fairly instant impact. And yeah, someone decided, let's make this even bigger, and that's what we're hoping to do to be when we're becoming a part of your franchise. Hopefully just contribute with our content to give your audience a different viewpoint. And yeah, well, by doing so, obviously expose our content to a much bigger audience, which is great. Might put us under a little more scrutiny as well, but we're ready for that. Looking forward to that.
Fair enough. Well, I'm excited too, because we'll be rebroadcasting the first season of The Art of CX on the FCE channel here. Are there any particular favorites of yours from those episodes that stand out for you?
Well, I mean, we only had, what did we have? Eight episodes in total in that first season. And I wouldn't find it entirely fair to pick out a favorite like that now publicly, because we're just really grateful for anyone who agreed to come on the show, be it some of our customers or just external experts. Having said that, when you get the opportunity to, in a 25-minute podcast, talk about tree houses for the best part of 10 minutes, we all know who the winner's going to be. But there's a wide variety of content, and there's something for everyone.
That's awesome. Now you got everyone excited for, now when are we going to run into treehouse conversation? Should we leave that one a surprise or?
Well, yeah. We don't want to give it away, because everyone will just go running for the treehouse and not listen to the other one. No, you have to find it.
I like that. The Easter egg of the Art of CX rebroadcast.
Yes.
I love that. So for the first episode here, though, we're getting a new conversation and a new discussion. Whose corner are we getting access to for this episode?
Yeah, this is an episode we recorded a little while ago, we were doing something that we unofficially had titled a COVID-19 series, although we're trying to do that without getting everyone depressed with how bad everything is. But this particular story features a company called Fruca Suntory, which is a leading Australasian drinks company and the market leader in energy drinks in Australia and New Zealand. And guests for that show were, on our side, Alfred Bonilla from SAP Customer Experience, and on customer side, Fernando Battaglia. He is Value Stream Manager at Fruca Suntory. And I thought this was an interesting guest to have because, as you might be aware, New Zealand was one of the first countries just to say, we're an island, we're locking this place down until we've got rid of the virus. But then they were the first to get back to full public life with rugby stadiums filled for matches, which was great. Now, of course, we're seeing the virus come back there a bit as well again as it is in other countries. But yeah, it was interesting to get that point of view from that side of the planet.
Well, perfect, Nick. Well, that's awesome. I will let you take the conversation away.
Thanks for that. Thanks for having us on the FCE feed. Hi, Alfred. Thanks for joining me on this one.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And we've got you on the show because you know our special guest very well, as I understand, which is Fernando Battaglia, Value Stream Manager at Fruca Suntory. Welcome, Fernando. Thanks for joining us on this show.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Fernando, for those of you who may not be familiar with your company, Fruca Suntory, can you please tell us a little bit about what the company does and what your role is within the company?
Yes, certainly. So Fruca Suntory is one of the leading drinks manufacturers and sellers in Australasia, so in Australia and New Zealand. We are the makers of the energy drink and many other brands. We have literally hundreds of SKUs and then many, many different types of drinks brands, and we're in every category. My role within the company is to essentially, as a value stream manager, I work with the teams, particularly with the commercial and consumer marketing teams, to develop digital platforms and digital systems that support the business and support the people working in the business to interact with consumers and customers.
And just maybe for clarity for our listeners, Alfred, could you tell us what a bit about your connection with Fernando?
Fruca being one of our strategic customers, also in Australia, right, is the story that they've had spreads across the customer experience platform as such. They have everything from e-commerce, sales, service, and so on and so forth. I think that the way that I have encountered Fernando both on a personal and professional platform is the fact that we came to interact with the brands. We have a common denominator when it comes to having that obsession towards customer experience. And I think that Fruca represents that very well.
Great. So let's get right into the story. Now, both of you, as I understand, have witnessed and, well, still are witnessing the changes that consumer product companies and specifically, well, in this case, beverage manufacturers have been navigate as they relate to what we call going digital. So let's start with you, Fernando. What kind of changes has the industry in general, and especially your company, Fruca, seen in the recent years? And, well, of course, we have to talk about the past few months as well. What has changed?
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting. I mean, we talk a lot about digital transformation, and I know you've addressed it in this podcast in the past. You know, I think that that's part of what we're seeing, but that's a big umbrella term. What does that actually mean? I think, you know, for us, what it means is that it's finding better ways to get closer to our customers and our consumers, to the people who buy our products, being able to understand the forces within the market, understand how we're performing within it, understand how our customers are performing within it, and link that together, right? So that's the truth about digital. It's funny because the more we talk about digital on my side, the more we talk about people, right? And that's fundamentally what we're talking about. Digital transformation is getting closer to people and finding ways to understand better and communicate better with all of those customers. That's the focus that we have at Procore Suntory. We've always had that focus as a company that's essentially selling products to customers, right? But in a digital sense, it's, okay, how can we take that to the next level? That's what the digital tools and platforms do for us.
And Alfred, you as someone who probably has both an inside and an outside view on what has been going on in the past few months, what would you say, how prepared was Frucor to pivot their business model in the face of all these challenges and maybe compared to other companies you've been dealing with as well?
From a more technical perspective, the fact that Frucor has taken a platform approach to their customer experience has helped them speed up the aspects that they want to prioritize in their business, right? So at some point in time, it was talking about how they would change their e-commerce or how they would support their sales force and help them expand and reprioritize their business as they saw fit throughout the development of COVID, I would say. And for the future, you know, the fact that they have that platform allows them to reprioritize as the business deems. As far as how it actually compares with other businesses, I think that a lot of the B2B companies were less prepared than Frucor when it comes to COVID-19. Even beverage companies in regions like Japan and the rest of Southeast Asia, et cetera, have said that they needed to accelerate the onboarding of retailers because they were accustomed to having those frequent face-to-face sales visits. So now online ordering has become more of the critical path, whereas previously it might have been seen as a nice-to-have. I think that Fernando just touched upon something very unique, as a matter of fact. He was talking about that the more he talks about digital, the more he also is talking about human. There was a catchphrase that was taken out of one of our previous events where we talked about customer experience now becoming digitally human, right? And I think that that's right on spot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been realizing something fairly general while talking to, well, people in various industries during the pandemic, and that was that they didn't suddenly do something completely new when the pandemic hit, but that there were things they had been working on maybe for quite some time already, and then they just realized that they had to move faster with this development, or that if they moved faster with this development, they would have quite an advantage. I know this is put very generally, but Fernando, was that the case with Frucor?
Well, I think so. So I think we had a bit of both. Obviously, there were some things that were in place for us that enabled us to take advantage of digital tools and platforms. So the online ordering that Al talks about, that was a big one, right? So we didn't absolutely need to worry about getting somebody out to the store to take an order. We knew we could do it digitally. But, you know, at the same time, you know, there were challenges because many of our customers were facing the same sort of pressures that we were facing. They had to close or they weren't able to bring customers in the door. And that's, I think, where having these systems and platforms actually helped us because we needed to understand what the situation of our customers was very, very quickly and how it was changing on a day-to-day basis. Now, if you're trying to do that over phone calls and spreadsheets and emails, that's never going to happen. But, you know, with something like Cloud for Customer, we're able to just launch a survey. Say the first day of the lockdown here in New Zealand, where our sales reps would call our customers, log their situation saying this customer is closed for the next few weeks or until further notice, this customer is still open but experiencing much lower volumes of foot traffic, or this customer is essential and actually experiencing higher volumes of traffic as well. And we're able to collate all of that information together. So those are the ways in which we were both prepared and still, you know, had to turn things around very quickly. Having said that, I mean, the fact is that there were tremendous opportunities that came through this period in time for a lot of companies, including ourselves. We said, we wish we could have gone a little bit farther and done a little bit more. And it's one of the learnings that we're taking away from this period. is to say, what are the things that we could have done better or we should have had in place so that, you know, when I say the next time, I'm not suggesting I want to have another pandemic, but so the next time that something comes around that requires that kind of digital support, that we're going to be ready to do some more again. Yep. It's a bit of both, I guess.
Interesting. And it's fascinating talking to someone based in New Zealand now. Well, I find it fascinating because New Zealand was a country who evidently handled the pandemic quite well. As someone living in Ireland, I was happy to see that we had rugby back again in front of live crowds in the stadium. So I'm just wondering, does that mean, though, that things in New Zealand go back faster to what it was before because you just sort of fast-forwarded through the pandemic? Or does it mean, yeah, that there's the lessons just were learnt quicker and will be applied in future to the changes in your business?
It's funny. I think this is a story that's still getting written, isn't it? Because we're still trying to understand the long-term effects and you know, all of the other impacts that that the pandemic is having globally. And obviously, while New Zealand has managed to move, you know, dare I say, more successfully through the early stages of the pandemic as opposed to other countries, we were nevertheless affected. Every company at our level is a global company now. We still need to source materials and ingredients from other countries that are affected. So that impact was still felt regardless of where we were. So the ability to have these tools and platforms to manage the impact, fundamentally, where you are is much less important than how ready you are to cope with the worst, because globally speaking, you're always going to have to face a level of that.
Fernando, if I may, I think that what you're also talking about in essence is, you know, do you have a toolkit? Because ultimately COVID is, you have to brace for impact, right? There's something coming, you know, you don't know how big it's going to come. Nobody knew how big it was going to come. But the fact is that if you feel that you're armed with the toolkit to at least know, okay, for this particular problem, here's what I'm going to take out and try to push out to the field, or at least arm the field so that they can be more efficient. I think that is what represents best what Frucor has done. If I were to look at it from a distance, right? You guys have had that settlement that you see, okay, this is my problem right now. It's my problem today. Let me go and see how I'm going to tweak my e-commerce site so that I can try and push orders more through this channel rather than the face-to-face visits. Or let me see how I can do it on the sales side as well. What do you think about that?
Well, that's right. I think, you know, this isn't the best time to say, oh, look, I'm going to recreate my platform strategy because of COVID-19 or the pandemic that's caused me to change to think about these things. So, yes, you're probably going to do that, but that's not something you can turn around right away. So you rely on the tools that you have in place. Now, you're still going to be innovative and you're still going to take advantage of the opportunities, but you need to have an e-commerce engine in place to do e-commerce. And you need to have a CRM platform in place to do proper relationship management and support your sales fleet. You still need to have those things available to you. And that's the kind of preparedness that we had. We may not have been using absolutely everything, and our focus in rolling out some of these platforms was very much MVP, let's get a few things going and then we'll add more later. But the fact is the whole platform was there from the beginning. So we could go and say, well, you know, we need to turn this on. We need to set up a survey, which we hadn't done before. No problem. We can do that because the platform's in place and we've got it available to us. And it just takes a bit more work to get that happening. If we had nothing in place, with all of the best intentions and all of the best desires and opportunities, you wouldn't be able to turn that around quickly or successfully.
Let's talk a bit more about toolkits. Because obviously, and you mentioned this beforehand, something else in future, hopefully not as devastating as COVID, might occur again. And how do you know which tools you'll need for the next crisis, if there were to be one? And in past episodes, we've been talking a lot about customer freedom and giving customers more options, but not forcing them into one way of dealing with the company. Is that something that's on your list as well? And if so, how do you interpret customer freedom?
That's a good question. So we talk, perhaps customer freedom isn't necessarily the term that we wanted, but we do talk about customer centricity. And very lately, the terms that we've been using a lot is customer obsession. And it's when we created the online store, we created some of these other ways for us to capture orders. We talked about being an omni-channel business, right? So we wanted to give people the ability to order how and when and where they like, which is great. That's about putting the platforms together. But then you can have all the platforms in the world, but if you're not driving behavior, you're not driving usage. They're not there for any good reason. People don't necessarily take things up just because they're there. So we needed to encourage that. We needed to encourage those behaviors. That was the next stage for us. That's getting closer to the customers, understanding what's going to drive them, what's going to drive them to use a particular platform or a particular system. And that is customer freedom, right? So in a way, what I'm saying is, it seems nice to say, I'll give the customer anything that they want to engage with. But at the end of the day, you've got to drive them to that platform and you've got to help them understand, learn, and engage with you. So a strange part of having an element of customer freedom is you got to work really, really hard to tell them what they need to do often.
Alfred, what's the SAP take on customer freedom? Perhaps you could add that.
Absolutely. I think that Fernando, you touched upon it. It's more on the freedom of being able to cater to customers in the channels that they want, right? It's more about the freedom of choice of if I want to do mobile today, it's mobile. If I wanted to do a website today, it's website. And it's all about that flexibility. I think that it's spot on. Fernando, you've just mentioned it. Yes, you have to guide your customers towards using them, and you have to be a thought leader in the process as well, which is a juggling exercise. But it's very much about making choice available so that they have that freedom of choice.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move on to a topic that is also an essential part of customer experience, and that's, not keeping your house in order, but keeping your own house, your own company well looked after. And that's a topic we've also wanted to focus on, well, throughout the Art of CX, but especially when we're talking about the pandemic, and that is mindfulness and employee well-being, mindful leadership. Let me just ask like this, Fernando, how have the employees of Fruco been handling the pandemic?
Well, it's funny. I learned a lot about how much our salespeople care about their customers during this period. I mean, you always know that there's a level of care there because obviously that's their job and that's their business. But what I saw was a lot of people in our sales team who were legitimately concerned for their customers and for their business, right? A lot of our customers are very small, independent stores that, you know, don't really have a great lot to fall back on if there's no business coming in the door. And they wanted to go that extra mile and make sure they could do everything to help support them. So, you know, the business was obviously supportive of that and supportive of our sales team and listening very much to that feedback. So we took that in and we said, look, you know, there's things that we can do. We can suspend certain contract rules if there's sort of minimum buys for somebody who's either not getting enough traffic or closed down for a period of time. We can do different things to help our customers. And I think that the critical thing, this is where the sort of tools come in, is how do you consume all that? How do you understand all of that and all of that status? It can't just be with salespeople going into a store talking to somebody and coming back, and you'd have a billion conversations back at the home office, can we do this, can we do that, can we do the other thing? If we can capture information about those customers and flow that back in a structured sense back to the business, that's how we can that we can actually do something about it. And what that does is actually show that, it shows that we care. You can make it obvious because you can have policies, you can make changes, you can make decisions that affect not just our customers, but the people working with them for us, that they can see that we're taking that. It's not a one-off, it's not here and there. It's a policy change almost. So look, this is how we're going to react to the situation. This is how we're going to support our customers. This is how we're support our people as a company. Right? And I think that that's really what, you know, supporting your staff means to us, actually helping them do the best job for their customers and helping them look good in front of the customers. And that's part of the focus for us in terms of providing these tools to them.
So would you say that this pandemic has not only led to you maybe focusing more on the digital transformation side, but also giving your employees more flexibility in dealing with customers, or giving, well, in effect, then your customers more flexibility?
I don't know that it necessarily gave them more flexibility. I think that a lot of it was there. I think what it allowed them to see is that these things can work. That, you know, you can still have a strong engagement with your customer via phone, via digital means or platforms or systems, as much as you can, in many cases, face-to-face. Now, you don't want to give up on that face-to-face. That's important. But you can continue that engagement. And I think that the same thing is true internally as it is externally, right? So we're a company that works in two countries, in Australia and New Zealand, and we weren't allowed to travel. We weren't able to move from office to office. So we had to rely on tools and systems, as we've had to all over the world to see, you know, like with video conferencing and so on. And we've learned that, you know, these tools were always there. We were always able to do that. But you know what? We can rely on them. And we can actually get things done using these tools. That, I think, is what we truly learned out of the pandemic, is that it's not that there's anything new there. It's that we can do these things.
Hmm. Let's look at it the other way around as well. I find that very important, because and this is good, talking a lot about the lessons we learned and how we move on and how things even improved through what we learned during the pandemic. But is there something for you, and I know there are things for me, which you definitely want to change right away again when it's possible? So a way in which you had to adapt during these months that you straight away will axe again when it's possible?
Okay, I think it's an interesting question. And again, I would say, regardless of where we stand, and again, New Zealand is probably in a pretty good place, and Australia is hopefully getting there as well, it's still very early to tell. So it's hard to say what's really going to change, or what's going to stay the same, or what we're going to come back to. I think the big thing for me is that the approach that we're taking during this pandemic is not essentially different in concept. It's in practice, it is, because people are remote or they can't see them. But the approach is essentially the same. You need to understand where your customer is at, what their needs are at that moment, and you need to be able to react to those. And that was always true, and that will always continue to be true. The pandemic hasn't changed that. It's not going to change that. It might accelerate how we deploy digital systems. It might cause companies to think more strategically about what kind of platforms do they need in the future for similar, let's call them, catastrophic events, and how they manage that. But the approach and the mindset, that hasn't changed and it will not change.
Alfred, what's your view on the improvements and the sacrifices that companies have made during the pandemic? Not the sacrifices they've made, but things that they will be happy to have going back to normal again after the pandemic, if we can call it normal.
Absolutely. I think that what Fernando is also stressing is the fact that the pandemic just brought upon a sense of prioritization, right? It's more about what do you put first? What do you stop doing so that you can focus on the things, the two, three, or four things that the business really does need? And I think that, that this exercise of prioritization is what all companies will, as a common denominator, share in the future, right? We know that we are in a state of emergency, or we know that this is coming. Well, we know what we have to do, get our heads together, understand, and I won't try to say it any better than Fernando has done, because he's already done a beautiful job with it, is understand what your customer is and how we're going to get to the end result that it's going to make us successful as a partnership between those two companies, right? I think as physical stores go through the cycle of close and reopen, and the digital channels at the end of the day and the online stores are the only reliable way that retailers can deliver their products and services moving forward.
So, Fernando, what are the next big steps for Frucor?
Well, I think for us, obviously, we're going to continue on the journey that we're in terms of digital transformation. We're going to continue to service our customers the best we can. I think there's going to be a growing need for digital support. That's not just for selling, but for any kind of relationship with our customers. So what are the other things that we can do to help and make it easier on them to transact with us? And I think that that sort of experience is fundamentally, is still going to continue to be the thing that divides successful companies from non-successful companies, which is to say, it's easier to deal with you, and I have a greater deal of reliance and trust on you as a company and as a partner. So how do we actually become that? I think the next stage beyond that is beginning to create the link between ourselves and our customers and our consumers. So at Frucor Centauri, we talked about customers and consumers. Customers are the stores that buy our products for resale, so the grocery stores, the convenience stores, petrol stations, and so on. But our consumers are the ones who buy the product from them. And for us, it's creating a good ecosystem in which all three of those parties can get what they want and ensure that we have a sense of how all three of those groups of customers are performing, you know, that the business is performing well and we're selling, that our customers are strong as a business and are able to sell and generate revenues for themselves as well, and that our consumers are getting the products that they want in the way that they want. That is, I think, the next really big focus for us.
It sounds so lovely, simple, and straightforward when you put it that way. Just basically make sure that all parties are happy and get the best out of it.
I'm sure we'll have it in 6 months. Al, you have a view, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for the time. I'm afraid that's already all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Fernando. Thanks, Alfred. And bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick. And of course, our guests for the great discussion to kick off our Customer Corner series and bring the Art of CX into the show. If you want to learn more about this topic and our guests, just check out the show notes where you can find relevant links. Also, if this was useful for you, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive notifications as new episodes of the Customer Corner series are released. If you enjoyed it as well, feel free to leave us a rating and a review to help others discover the show. I'm Steven Spears, and this is the Future of Customer Engagement and Experience podcast. See you next time.